In God's holy word, first to the book of Ephesians, chapter 6, we'll read several portions of scripture this morning. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18. Hear now the word of the living God. Praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. And also for me, that words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak. And then in 1 Chronicles chapter 29, 1 Chronicles chapter 29. We'll begin reading in verse 10. Therefore David blessed the Lord in the presence of all the assembly. And David said, Blessed are you, O Lord, the God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. For all that is in the heavens and in the earth is yours. Yours is the kingdom, O Lord, and you are exalted as head above all. Both riches and honor come from you, and you rule over all. In your hand are power and might. And in your hand is to make great and to give strength to all. And now we thank you, our God, and praise your glorious name. But who am I and what is my people that we should be able thus to offer willingly? For all things come from you, and of your own have we given you. For we are strangers before you and sojourners, as all our fathers were. Our days on the earth are like a shadow, and there is no abiding. O Lord our God, all this abundance that we have provided for building you a house for your holy name comes from your hand and is all your own. I know, my God, that you test the heart and have pleasure in uprightness. In the uprightness of my heart, I have freely offered all these things, and now I have seen your people who are present here offering freely and joyously to you. O Lord, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, our fathers, keep forever such purposes and thoughts in the hearts of your people, and direct their hearts toward you. Grant to Solomon, my son, a whole heart that he may keep your commandments, your testimonies, and your statutes, performing all, and that he may build the palace for which I have made provision. Thus ends the reading of God's very word. Let's pray. I'm going to ask Elder Eric Schrader to lead us in prayer.
Oh Lord, we do humble ourselves before you, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and dwell in great majesty and approachable light, yet you have condescended to speak to us in your holy scriptures and also in general revelation as we look at the beauty and majesty of the created order. Lord, we pray now that you might come by your Holy Spirit, open our hearts and our minds to receive your word. You might rejoice greatly in it as David does in this prayer. That you might be pleased with us and we might honor you and praise you with our whole hearts. Pray these things in your name. Amen.
Amen. We are going through the Lord's Prayer and we come now to the end of the Lord's Prayer. And you'll notice that in some of your translations, the conclusion of the Lord's Prayer is either in italics or there's a footnote and it's down at the bottom of the page with a little note that some of the manuscripts either do or don't have this conclusion to the Lord's Prayer. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. So I want to just say, first of all, just a couple of things about what do we do with a situation like this where some of the early manuscripts do have this and some don't. Praise God that there are very, very few places in the Scriptures where there are differences in the old text copies of the original text. We don't have any of the original text. But there are no places in the New Testament where there are any variations in copies that affect any teaching of Scripture. There are variations in some of the texts, and I won't go into how did that happen, but you can just picture in your mind's eye a scribe. He's been writing all day, and he's getting a little tired. He says, I'm going to just do four more verses before I stop for the night. And so he starts again, but he skips a verse unintentionally. Or maybe he picked it up again and repeats a verse, or he leaves a word out. And so it is a great blessing to have these multitude of copies to compare one with another. Well, what do we do with this particular situation? And what we see is that there are a number of places elsewhere in Scripture that this same declaration of who God is found. And that really solves the problem, because whether it is a part of the text here in Matthew chapter 6 or whether it is found in other places, if it is part of God's Word, then it is a glorious resolution. What do we do with this? For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And this passage that we looked at in 1 Chronicles 29 is perhaps one of the most comprehensive of all the texts. We're going to look at a number of texts that have these declarations of who God is. This one that we find in 1 Chronicles chapter 29 has everything that we see in the conclusion. I personally believe that indeed it is part of the original text, but whether that is correct or not, we know that all of these things that we find in this text of Matthew 6, the end of verse 13, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever, amen, is found undisputedly in many other places in Scripture. And 1 Chronicles 29 is one of those. The context is God has blessed King David. He has gathered materials for the building of the temple. God had revealed to David, David, I'm not going to allow you to build the temple, but you can gather the materials, and I'm going to let your son, Solomon, do the actual building after you leave the scene. And so David is rejoicing in the Lord in all of these provisions that God has provided through his people. And so let's look at these verses in 1 Chronicles chapter 29 for just a few minutes. Verse 10. Therefore David blessed the Lord in the presence of all the assembly, and David said. And so one of the things that we do in prayer is we are praising God for who he is. And we saw that in the preface to the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven. The first petition, hallowed be thy name. We are caught up with who God is, how great he is. And so David is blessing the Lord in the presence of the assembly. He is declaring who God is, and he's entering into praise and rejoicing in the presence of God. And David said, blessed are you, O Lord, the God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. God is worthy to be praised. And we'll talk more about that, particularly in a couple of weeks when we look at what does it mean for God to have the glory? Well, here's just a little glimpse that God is being praised and worshiped and adored. And all of creation will praise his name and is praising his name. And we, redeemed in the Lord Jesus, delight to be restored to fellowship with this great God. And so verse 11, yours, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty, for all that is in the heavens and in the earth is yours. And so here's a declaration of who God is. Who is our God? He is the creator and the sustainer of the heavens and the earth. And everything in the universe belongs to him. And so we see that in this next phrase. Yours is the kingdom, O Lord, and you are exalted as head above all. And so what do we mean when we say, Lord, yours is the kingdom? Well, you remember in the Lord's Prayer, we've said that the second petition is, we're praying for God's kingdom to come. And so how do we understand this? Praying for the kingdom to come, but here now at the conclusion of the Lord's Prayer, and here we see in 1 Chronicles 29, God declaring to us that God has the kingdom already. Well, let's look at a couple of passages of Scripture. First of all, there's a sense in which God is and always has been and always will be king over everything. The kingdom just simply is referring to the realm that the king is reigning over. A king, what's a kingdom? Well, it's the realm of a king. It's the territory that the king is over. And so what is God over? He's over everything. Let's look at a few psalms, and then we'll come back to 1 Chronicles 29. First of all, Psalm 9. Psalm 9. In Psalm 9, we see the Lord reminding us that he is the God who is the great king over all the world. Let's look at Psalm 9, just a few verses. It's a psalm of David. Verse 1, I will give thanks to the Lord with my whole heart. I will recount all your wonderful deeds. I will be glad and exult in you. I will sing praise to your name, O Most High. And so here God is identified as the Most High. Let's just keep reading. When my enemies turn back, they stumble and perish before your presence. For you have maintained my just cause. You have sat on the throne giving righteous judgment. You have rebuked the nations. You have made the wicked perish. You have blotted out their name forever and ever. The enemy came to an end in everlasting ruins. Their cities you rooted out. The very memory of them has perished. But the Lord sits enthroned forever. He has established his throne for justice, and he judges the world with righteousness. He judges the peoples with uprightness. So here's this picture of God as the king over the entire world, and that he has a throne and he sits upon the throne, judging in righteousness. In verse 9, the Lord is a stronghold for the oppressed, a stronghold in times of trouble. And those who know your name put their trust in you. For you, O Lord, have not forsaken those who seek you. Sing praises to the Lord who sits enthroned in Zion. Tell among the peoples his deeds, for he who avenges blood is mindful of them. He does not forget the cry of the afflicted. Be gracious to me, O Lord. See my affliction from those who hate me. O you who lift me up from the gates of death, that I may recount all your praises, that in the gates of the daughter of Zion I may rejoice in your salvation. The nations have sunk in the pit that they made. In the net that they hid, their own foot has been caught. The Lord has made himself known. He has executed judgment. The wicked are snared in the work of their own hands. The wicked shall return to Sheol, all the nations that forget God. For the needy shall not always be forgotten, and the hope of the poor shall not perish forever. Arise, O Lord. Let not man prevail. Let the nations be judged before you. Put them in fear, O Lord. Let the nations know that they are but men. And so in verse 7, the Lord sits enthroned how long? Forever. He's always been king. He's king now. He always will be king. And as we're going to see, that is a tremendous comfort to God's people, that God Almighty, the one that we belong to in the Lord Jesus Christ, the one that we pray to, has a kingdom. And his kingdom is, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory for how long? Forever. And we say, amen. Now we'll come back and talk more about what the significance of that amen is, but notice that we're saying his is the kingdom forever. Another psalm that we could look at, let's turn over to Psalm 24. Psalm 24. The Lord is the king. And what is the realm that he reigns over? Well, let's look at Psalm 24. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. For he, the world and those who dwell in it. For he has founded it upon the seas and established it upon the rivers. Who shall ascend the hill of the Lord, and who shall stand in his holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who does not lift up his soul to what is false, who does not swear deceitfully. He will receive blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. Such is the generation of those who seek him, who seek the face of the God of Jacob. And so here's the question. Who can come into the throne room of the king and be welcomed? Well, you can't have the stain of sin on me and get there. And so that drives us to what? To Jesus. Only Jesus can open up the throne room for us. Only Jesus can welcome us as children of the King. And if we belong to Jesus, the answer to that question, who can come? You can put your name in there if you belong to Jesus. If you are clinging to Jesus, if you are repenting of your sins and holding fast to Jesus, and when you stumble, what happens to us? The Lord convicts our hearts, and we repent afresh and say, Lord, forgive me for forgetting who you are and acting like I'm not one of your children. But Lord, you know I do love you, and I'm clinging to you, Jesus, and I want to follow you. That's who's welcome. And so verse 7, lift up your heads, O gates, and be lifted up, O ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Wonder of wonders. Not only are we invited to come to him, but he comes to us. He comes and he says, I would take up residence in you. I would come and take up residence in your home. Jesus says, I would come and take up residence in your church family. Jesus says, I would come and take up residence in your community, in everything that you are doing in this nation. And so what are we called to do? Lift up our heads. The gates, the rulers, people who are in charge. And be lifted up, O ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty. The Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O gates, and lift them up, O ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. And the word host there just means armies. The Lord is the one who is the commander-in-chief of all the armies in heaven and on earth. Jesus has a kingdom. God Almighty has a kingdom that he reigns over. Another psalm, Psalm 45, if you'll turn with me, Psalm 45. And this psalm is quoted over in Hebrews chapter 1, as being a prophecy of the Lord Jesus Christ. And here in Psalm 45, to the choir master according to Lilies, a maskil of the sons of Korah, a love song. My heart overflows with a pleasing theme. I address my verses to who? To the King. My tongue is like a pen of a ready scribe. You are the most handsome of the sons of men. And there's a hymn that we love to sing. Fairest Lord Jesus. That Jesus is the most beautiful one to us of anybody in the universe. That's what this psalm is about. Grace is poured upon your lips. Therefore God has blessed you forever. Gird your sword on your thigh, O mighty one. In your splendor and majesty, in your majesty, ride out victoriously for the cause of truth and meekness and righteousness. Let your right hand teach you awesome deeds. Your arrows are sharp in the heart of the king's enemies. The peoples fall under you. Your throne, O God, is forever and ever. The scepter of your kingdom is a scepter of righteousness, uprightness. You have loved righteousness and hated wickedness, and therefore God your God has anointed you with the oil of gladness beyond your companions. Your robes are all fragrant with myrrh and aloes and cassia. From ivory palaces, stringed instruments make you glad. Daughters of kings are among your ladies of honor. At your right hand stands the queen in gold of Ophir. Hear, O daughter, and consider and incline your ear. Forget your people in your father's house, and the king will desire your beauty. Since he is your Lord, bow to him. The people of Tyre will seek your favor with gifts, the richest of the people. All glorious is the princess in her chamber, with robes interwoven with gold and many-colored robes. She is led to the king, with her virgin companions following behind her with joy and gladness. They are led along as they enter the palace of the king. And so here's this picture of God's people delighting to belong to God through our Savior, King Jesus. In the place of your fathers shall be your sons. You will make them princes in all the earth. I will cause your name to be remembered in all generations. Therefore, nations will praise you forever and ever. One last psalm, Psalm 47. To the choir master, a psalm of the sons of Korah. Clap your hands, all peoples. Shout to God with loud songs of joy, for the Lord the Most High is to be feared, a great king over what? All the earth. He subdued peoples under us and nations under our feet. He chose our heritage for us, the pride of Jacob, whom he loves. God has gone up with a shout, the Lord with the sound of a trumpet. Sing praises to God. Sing praises. Sing praises to our King. Sing praises. For God is the King of what? All the earth. Sing praises with a psalm. God reigns over what? The nations. God sits on his holy throne. The princes of the people gather as the people of the God of Abraham. For the shields of the earth belong to God. He is highly exalted. And so the conclusion of this prayer, the Lord's Prayer, is inviting us. God is instructing us. He's taking us by the hand as his little children. And you remember the last petition now that we looked at dealt with what? Lord, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And I'm telling you, it's tough. It's tough to live this side of heaven. There's the world. The world wants us. There's the flesh, even from within our own hearts, remaining sin. We love Jesus now, but we still struggle, don't we? And it's painful. I want to be a good husband. I want to be a blessing to my wife. I want to be a good daddy. I want to be a good granddaddy. But I find myself so often not being and doing what pleases the Lord Jesus. And you remember, Jesus is the one who alone can deliver us from the world. Jesus is the one who alone can give us victory over sin. And, of course, the evil one himself. We're no match to Satan. Have you ever watched a cat play with a mouse, it's called? Ooh, not a pretty sight. I mean, you know, sweet little kitty cat. Boy, they're brutal, you know. They don't kill the little mouse right away. They like to play with him, you know. And they're brutal in the way they play with him. You know, they throw him up in the air and poor little old mouse hits the ground and, you know, he's stunned and he kind of comes to and starts looking around. And the cat has gone off just a few feet. pretending. He's not paying any attention. Just waiting for the little mouse to come back too a little bit so he can have some more fun. You know? So the little mouse will start thinking, I can get away now. And he starts crawling. And what does the cat do? He lets him get a few feet. And then, whoop, throws him up in the air again. And so what hope do we have against this conniving, lying, sneaky foe that we're no match to left to ourselves? Praise God, we have a champion. The King has come and taken on human flesh to rescue us. And so Psalm 47 describes how this King who reigns over everything has a saving aspect to this kingdom, and that God Almighty has sent His Son to reclaim what is rightfully His. Now you remember when we looked at the second petition, Thy kingdom come. We said that the entire world already belongs to God, but that Satan is like a squatter and he pretends it's his. And he says, no, this is mine. But God in His great mercy has given His Son, even though we have forfeited in Adam, our first parent. When Adam rebelled against God, we were represented and we sinned in him. And so what hope do we have? The last Adam comes in the fullness of time to perfectly obey and then to lay down his life upon the cross. And so throughout the scriptures, we have not only this universal kingdom of God owning everything and ruling over everything, but He has given His Son to reclaim all of the territory that Satan has wrongfully and wickedly said, no, this is mine. It belongs rightly to the living God. And so we see a theme in the Old Testament, and we're going, I haven't forgotten about 1 Chronicles 29, but in David's own life, as he says, Lord, I want to build a house for you. You know what God told him? He says, no, you can't build a house for me. I'll let your son Solomon build the temple. That was tricky, putting all those together. I will let your son build the temple, but I'm going to build a house for you, David. And the house that he was talking about was that Messiah would come. The King would come to reclaim all the territory that Adam forfeited and put in darkness. Turn with me to Psalm 89. Psalm 89 really is a thrilling psalm. Psalm 89 is in a period of time when it looked like God's people were left destitute. The end of the kings of Judah have come. There are no more kings. And it was going to be through David's line that Messiah would come. And now the last of those kings has come and gone. And that's what Psalm 89 is looking at. We've got a crisis here. Lord, what's going to happen? Lord, you promised that David would never cease to have one of his sons seated upon his throne. And Lord, here we are destitute. We don't have a king to rescue us. We don't have a king to save us. And so look at Psalm 89. a Maskil of Ethan the Ezrahite. I will sing of the steadfast love of the Lord forever. With my mouth I will make known your faithfulness to all generations. For I said, steadfast love will be built up forever. In the heavens you will establish your faithfulness. You have said, I have made a covenant with my chosen one. I have sworn to David my servant, I will establish your offspring forever and build your throne for all generations. And we don't have time to read this long psalm. I wish we did and go through it. But jump on down verse 19. Of old you spoke in a vision to your godly one and said, I have granted help to the one who is mighty. I have exalted one chosen from the people. I have found David my servant. With my holy oil I have anointed him so that my hand shall be established with him. My arm also shall strengthen him. The enemy shall not outwit him. The wicked shall not humble him. I will crush his foes before him and strike down those who hate him. My faithfulness and my steadfast love shall be with him, and in my name shall his horn be exalted. I will set his hand on the sea and his right hand on the rivers. He shall cry to me, you are my Father, my God, and the rock of my salvation. I will make him the firstborn, the highest of the kings of the earth. My steadfast love I will keep for him forever, and my covenant will stand firm for him. I will establish his offspring forever, and his throne as the days of the heavens. If his children forsake my law and do not walk according to my rules, if they violate my statutes and do not keep my commandments, then I will punish their transgression with the rod and their iniquity with the stripes. But I will not remove from him my steadfast love or be false to my faithfulness. I will not violate my covenant or alter the word that went forth from my lips. Once for all I have sworn by my holiness, I will not lie to David. His offspring shall endure forever. His throne as long as the sun before me, like the moon, it shall be established forever, a faithful witness in the skies. But now you've cast off and rejected. You're full of wrath against your anointed. You have renounced the covenant with your servant. You've defiled his crown in the dust. You've breached all his walls. And so he ends this psalm saying, Lord, how long are you going to leave us in this state? Well, God's people had to wait a while. And it wasn't until the angel came and announced to Mary, Mary, you're going to have a child. Turn with me to Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1. And we read in verse 31, and behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. And when Jesus began his public ministry, turn with me to the beginning of the Gospel of Mark. Mark chapter 1. Verse 14 and 15, after John was arrested, John the Baptist, Jesus came into Galilee proclaiming the gospel of God and saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. In Matthew chapter 10, the Lord Jesus, in response to the Pharisees saying that Jesus was casting out demons by Satan, Jesus said, that's ridiculous. A house divided against itself cannot stand. I'm not casting out demons by Satan. If I cast out demons by the Spirit of God, then you see and know that the kingdom of God has come upon you. And when Jesus was raised from the dead, The Father bestowed upon him what? A name above every name. That at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. And every tongue confess that Jesus is what? Lord. To the glory of God the Father. In the book of Acts, we see in chapter 1 that right before Jesus goes up into heaven, what does he spend those last few days talking to the disciples about? Well, we read in verse 3, he presented himself alive to them. This is Acts 1, verse 3. After his suffering, by many proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. And when the apostles would preach the gospel throughout the book of Acts, and you can just look it up for yourself. We're not going to take the time to go through. But over and over, gospel preaching was preaching about the kingdom. And kingdom preaching is telling people about the King. King Jesus, who not only died upon a cross, yes, he did, to take our place, but he's been raised from the dead. And he has ascended on high and has been seated at the Father's right hand. And those who are Christians not only are living in God's world, but are rejoicing to be redeemed and restored. And so there is this work that God is doing, that the Lord Jesus is furthering his gospel. The wonderful hymn, Joy to the World. Just turn with me in your hymnals, 195. And I want to show you a couple of things in this hymn. Joy to the world, the Lord is come, let earth receive who? Her King. Let every heart prepare him room, and heaven and nature sing, and heaven and nature sing. The second stanza, joy to the earth, the Savior what? Reigns. And where is he reigning? On a throne in heaven. Jesus has been seated at the Father's right hand, and a Christian is somebody who has been rescued from the domain of darkness, from the squatter's domain, and has been transferred to the kingdom of God's beloved Son, the saving realm of the Lord Jesus. Let men their songs employ. Floods, rocks, hills, plains, repeat the sounding joy. Third stanza. No more sins and sorrows grow, nor thorns infest the ground. He comes to make his blessings flow where? Far as the curse is found. And the men who carried the gospel in the 1800s, one of them who went to India and another who went to China, they said, Satan does not rightly own these places. He must reign until Satan has not one square inch of territory left that he is claiming. And so we've got a lot of work to do. There are still vast areas of geographic region and areas of life where people refuse to acknowledge their rightful owner and king. And Jesus is at work, and he will either crush those enemies by destroying them, or he will convert them. But the kingdom belongs to God. Now, back to 1 Chronicles 29, and I want you to just notice a couple of things before we close. Yours is the kingdom, O Lord, and you are exalted as head above all. Both riches and honor come from you, and you rule over all. In your hand are power and might, and in your hand is to make great and to give strength to all. And now we thank you, our God, and praise your glorious name. And so as we think about concluding our prayers, the Lord instructs us in Matthew 6, in 1 Chronicles 29, and there are many places in the New Testament where these declarations that God is the one who has the rule. And why is that so important for us to know? Well, it's important because, first of all, it's the basis upon which we pray. If God doesn't own everything, if it's not rightly His, on what basis are we dare to come and ask God for these blessings? And so He has revealed Himself to us as the one who has given His Son to come and rescue us and to set all things right in His own time. This world's a messed up place. And God says, I'm doing something about it. He's given His Son, the Lord Jesus. He's furthering His gospel. And the Lord is patient. I never cease to be amazed at the patience of the Lord, just with me. But also, when you look at history, the Lord is patient. But He is powerfully at work. And God is doing mighty things. In 1 Corinthians 15, the Lord Jesus is going to reign until all of the enemies of God are made a footstool for the feet of the living God. And the very last enemy that will be destroyed is death itself. And then you know what Jesus is going to do? He's going to take the kingdom after all of the enemies of God are destroyed and Satan and all of the demons are thrown into the lake of fire and the world and universe is purged with fire and the kingdom is brought to perfect perfection on that day when Jesus comes again to end history. You know what the Son is going to do? He's going to turn the kingdom back over to the Father. And He's going to say, Father, I have completed the task that You gave me to do to rescue this fallen world. And so when we pray, not only are we praying on the basis that God has the right to rule, but that God is ruling and He is exerting His authority to rule. This is God's world. And I don't know about you, but that is such a sweet blessing to think about. Not only does it stir us up to pray, it's the basis. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. But it also gives us comfort. It comforts our hearts. God, He's got a plan for history. He's got a realm. He owns everything. And in His own good time, He's going to set everything right. It gives us boldness to pray. Where did the men and women of old get their gumption to do what's right? You think about the pilgrims coming to this country when it was nothing but a wilderness. And over half of them died the first year they were here. You know what people would do in this day and time if they went to a foreign place to establish a Christian nation and over half of them died from starvation and disease? They would be looking for the first taxi home they could find. But that's not what our forefathers and foremothers did. What'd they do? They said, nope, this is what God has called us to do, and we're going to plant the flag of Jesus here. They were bold. And even if it kills me, this is what is right in God's sight, and this is what I'm going to do. And this precious truth that God is the King, and He has given His Son Jesus to be our saving King. Oh, it makes us bold to pray and to live for God. Lastly, it gives us patience. Not only is God patient, but it gives us patience. It gives us perseverance. We say, well, I may not live to see it all come to pass here. I may get to see how God brings it all together from the balcony of heaven. But I know He's going to do what He's promised. God's going to be what He has promised to be and do what He has promised to do in the Lord Jesus. Yours is the kingdom, O Lord, forever. And so this is a powerful truth that not only this prayer, but all of our prayers ought to flow from and rejoice giving thanks to God in light of, and it not only stirs us up to pray, but it instructs us and stirs us up to live for Jesus. Praise God. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we confess to you that it is easy for us to grow weary and tired and discouraged. We see sickness, we see death, we see broken relationships, we stumble, we struggle with sin. Lord, there's much darkness in this nation, but how we thank you, O Lord, that you are at work, that yours is the kingdom, that you're the rightful owner of the universe. Every molecule in this universe belongs to you and will honor and praise you one way or another. And that's true for the nations of the world. It's true for every man and woman and boy and girl. And Lord, we are humbled before you when we think that you have chosen to set your love upon us to make us trophies of your grace instead of trophies of your wrath. But Lord, everybody is one way or the other going to acknowledge that you're the King. Either experiencing salvation in this life or going to the end of our days of fighting against you, a futile, foolish, wicked war that we cannot win. Lord, we thank you. Yours is the kingdom forever. And so, Lord, bless us to pray in light of this truth, to live in light of this truth, to have comfort in our hearts, to have boldness in our prayers and in our lives, and patience. Lord, showing your love and your compassion to those around us as we trust and obey you, Lord Jesus. Give us great joy now as we sing. Lord, encourage and strengthen us. In Jesus we pray. Amen.